2-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
And strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for coming back to At Mariners Pod. Yes, a big one in store, and why not? Six wins in a row as the Mariners get it done again last night as they beat the Angels in Game 1 of that three-game series. How about this road trip so far? 4-0 on this trip, sweeping the A's, taking the first one against the Angels. We're going to go through the highlights in just a moment. Also coming up on this version of the podcast, nice piece from Josh Kearns on video scouting. That comes up in a few minutes. Daniel Vogelback is now a Mariner, and you'll hear from him in a few minutes, which is great. And also Rick Riz, an outstanding conversation with Nelson Cruz. It's always great to hear Nelson Cruz talk about hitting, and he'll do that with Rick Riz coming up in a few minutes, which is always fun. But the Mariners taking on the Angels, trying to keep the roll going. They came into the ballgame winners of five in a row. Miranda was on the hill for the M's against the Angels in Game 1. In a little bit of trouble in the first inning.
The pitch. Swing and a ground ball to third. Seager's got it over to Cano. There's one. And he steps off the bag. You know he has time to throw to first. And plenty of time to get pulls. And that will retire the side. 5-4-3. The double play to end the inning. They get Trout, they get Pujols, and Robbie Cano knew he had plenty of time to turn that double play, and Miranda gets out of a jam. How about that?
The Mariners ended up scoring a lot of runs last night, but it was a tight game for most of it, and give Miranda a lot of credit. He pitched very well again. Six scoreless innings, three hits, one walk, three strikeouts on 87 pitches. And you go back now a couple of starts when he faced the Angels the first time, gave up four earned runs in that in the first inning, the Trout three-run home run, four earned. Since then, after that inning, he has pitched 17 innings without giving up an earned run. Gave up three runs in his last start, not earned, though, after the error. So 17 innings without giving up an earned run. He has been outstanding. The rotation this last time through has been incredibly consistent. I mean, you put together what has been, well, really the best offense in baseball in the month of September in terms of runs scored, and you couple that with consistent starting rotation, not a big surprise that they've been able to reel off this kind of winning streak. So Miranda improves to 4-0 with the win, six innings, three hits, no runs, one walk, three punch-outs. Outstanding. Also, plenty of offense in this ballgame for the Mariners, including Robinson Cano.
The pitch to Robbie. Swing and a well-hit ball. Deep to right field. Down the line. Calhoun to the wall. Leaps up. Does he make the catch? It's into the seats. And goodbye, baseball. Calhoun can't bring this one back. Robbie Cano with his 33rd home run of the season, and that ties his career high.
Did that in 2012 with the Yankees. He's got a great chance to surpass his career high with still a lot of games to go. Also, extra base hit number 780 in his career, which passes newly minted Hall of Famer Mike Piazza. So that tells you the gives you an idea of what he has already done in his truly impressive career. So home run number 33 for Robinson Cano. The Mariners with the lead at that point. Another little bit of history in this ballgame for the Mariners. Leonis Martin.
The 2-2. Swing and a line drive down the right field line. A fair ball in toward the corner. Martin heading for his third double. He might get three, but a fan gets to it. Oh, my goodness. Fan interference, or was it stuck under the padding? But Martin was on his way to third. He will be sent back to second, yes, with his third double of the night.
So that ties a Mariners record, three doubles in the ballgame. Could have been a triple, but now he writes himself into Mariners history. It's the 25th time a Mariner has picked up three doubles in a ball game. No Mariners collected four, so this is ties the record with a bunch of players. Kyle Seager, the last one to do it in August of 2011, had three doubles in a ball game. Ichiro in 2010 did it as well, three doubles in a ball game. Other names of note, Ken Griffey Jr. in 1998. Edgar Martinez has done it a couple of times in 96 and once in 95. Buehner in 94, AD, Alvin Davis in 84 as well. So he joins that group, three doubles in the ballgame, and he would score later on in the inning. Aoki, who's been swinging a hot bat, comes through.
Swinging a ground ball up the middle into center field for a base hit. Martin will score. Zunino Rani third, heading home, and he will score. Around to third base goes Marte. Up with the ball is Mike Trout as that ball dies out there in shallow center field. Nori Aoki with a single and two runs batted in.
So two more runs, and they weren't done. Gamble comes up with his first major league home run.
Here's a swing and a fly ball well hit left center field. Mike Trout long run into the gap, and this one is gone. Goodbye baseball, Ben Gamble with his first home run in the big leagues. Opposite field home run to left center out to Bedrock. Holy smokes, Ben Gamble. Hope they get that ball back for him with a two-run homer here in the top of the eighth inning. And the Mariners now lead the Angels 8-1. What a thrill for that kid. His first big league home run. How about that?
It was a 2-0 game going into the seventh. The Mariners score four in the seventh, two in the eighth. They coast to an 8-1 victory. 12 more hits for the Mariners. They are just pounding the baseball right now. Cano, three hits in the ballgame. Martin, 4-for-4 with three doubles. Zunino chips in with another base hit and RBI. Another impressive offensive show for the Mariners as they get it done in a big way in game one of this series. Here's what the skipper had to say after this impressive win.
Awesome. Outstanding outing by Miranda. Really commanded the fastball. You know, it was very aggressive with it, got in good counts, and then kind of got the changeup working, got some good outs with that. Against a good right, you know, they got some right-hand hitters over there. It's not an easy lineup to get through. So really, really happy with the outing. He's starting to gain some momentum, which is great to see. And even later in the game, the fastball velocity started to spike a little bit, which is great to see. I mean, he had a little left in the tank. But, you know, where we're at in the ball game, and, you know, we had the long inning there, just go to the bullpen. But really excited about his outing.
Scott, he showed some composure, too, with some runners on. There was some traffic at times. He kind of just pitched around it.
It really did, you know. And a little bit he lost the feel for the fastball, and then maybe the one or couple at bats. You know, he threw small speed pitches to Calhoun. You know, we don't like walking the guy in front of Mike Trout, but, you know, sometimes it does happen. But he was fortunate enough. He got through that inning, and he's gaining momentum, like I said, and it's great to see.
He was on the corners all night, and if he was missing, he wasn't missing by much.
Yeah, you know, the fastball command, you know, that's what it's about. You know, with his stuff, he didn't have really a dominating breaking ball, but the changeup works off the fastball, but you got to get him in swing mode, and the only way to do that is to throw strikes.
Hey, you're getting stuff from other guys other than the middle of your order, too. I mean, Aoki with a big single there, Leonis with four hits.
Great night for Leonis Martin. You know, ever since he had the day off the other day, came back a couple hits in Oakland yesterday, squared the ball up all night tonight. Aoki's been on fire since he's been back in there. Even great to see Ben Gamble, you know, contribute. That hit the ball a long ways tonight. So nice that we got a little work to do on the base running. We didn't touch all the bases tonight, but, you know, we'll address that tomorrow.
Hey, Robbie said he was going to bring his bat to Anaheim. Didn't he promise you?
Yes, he did. I said when we shook hands in Oakland the other day, the hits will be in Anaheim. And he said they need to be. So he was in early looking at the video and trying to make some adjustments, and he was on time tonight.
Leonis looked like he might have been robbed of a triple at one point.
I really thought, you know, the fan interference and it's a judgment call by the umpire. I certainly thought that Leonis Martin was going to make it to third on that play because Calhoun did not get to the ball yet or close to it. So, but, you know, it's just one of those, it's a judgment call. You know, you can review it, but they're not going to overturn that unless it's just crazy. So, you know, I didn't agree with the judgment, but, you know, it is their call.
Have you said anything too vocal back yet about maybe touching him all?
Yeah. You know, I said your first major league game will certainly be memorable. You'll never forget it. You'll never miss a base again. I said, you got that right. So, Seager wasn't real happy about it either.
Poor Seager.
No, not poor Seager. Seager is just fine. So, and they let him know that.
Zunino, too. I thought that was a big, you know, he gets a 2-2 and he just sort of served the ball in the right
really
field.
Good at bat. Not trying to do too much. And we see him do that at times when he's letting the ball travel, get a little deeper. Mike's really swinging the bat well after kind of a rough finish up the homestand, a little rough. He got some early work the last day at home, and he's really carried into the road trip.
Scott, what have you seen from your guys this run? You've won some games in a row. They seem to be putting it in perspective the way they're supposed to.
We have a very confident crew right now, is the best way to put it. They believe we can win every night. Our offense is kind of clicking. We're putting runs up, and our pitching has done a very good job. Just, I think what we're asking from our starting pitchers is just keep us in the game, and they've done it. You know, we've won five or six in a row now. Our starters have getting deeper in those games, and the bullpen has been very good. So it's a very confident crew. You know, we think we're kind of playing our best ball here when it really matters the most, and hopefully we can continue.
It's been a nice formula. Mariners have won six in a row. That's the longest current winning streak in Major League Baseball. They have passed the Houston Astros in the standings and now 2.5 back of Baltimore for the second wild card. Boston, Cleveland, Texas, still the division leaders. Toronto, the first wild card. Baltimore, the second. A lot of things fell the Mariners' way last night. Detroit now a game back. They won last night. Baltimore lost last night. Toronto won. The Yankees, two back. They've lost two in a row. The Mariners, who have won six in a row, 2.5 back of Baltimore, just a half game back of the Yankees. Houston, now they've lost two in a row, one behind the Mariners. And Kansas City, they lost last night. They are four games back, total 1.5 behind the Seattle Mariners. So it's just day by day. I mean, you look at it, and you look at the pitching matchups for tomorrow. Dodgers will be in the Bronx to take on the Yankees again. The Dodgers doing the Mariners the favor yesterday and getting the win. So we'll see what happens today. CC Sabathia will get the call for the Yankees in that one. Also, the Rays and Blue Jays hooking up again. It's going to be Smiley against Stroman. Baltimore and the Red Sox. Pomerantz against Bundy. And we talked about it last night. I think as Mariner fans, she just hoped the Red Sox roll over the rest of the East. I think you're hoping that the Red Sox just win every single game against the East the rest of the way. So Bundy against Pomerantz, Red Sox against Baltimore tomorrow. Tigers taking on the Twins again. That one's Boyd against Gibson. Boyd's been on fire. That's going to be a tough matchup. Twins actually had a lead in the game last night, but the Tigers, they came from behind to ended up getting that victory. Otherwise, Mariners would have gained a game on them as well. And the other one to watch, it's going to be the A's and Royals. A's thumped the Royals last night. Cotton, who was very good in his first outing, will take on Duffy, who's been outstanding. So that'll be a tough matchup for the A's. And the Rangers and Astros, we'll see if Texas can do the Mariners a favor again and keep the Astros back. Griffin against Peacock. Of course, the Mariners have a series with Houston coming up shortly, so they'll have their destiny in their hands in that regard. Same with the Blue Jays. Keep in mind, the Blue Jays are coming to town for three. Houston and Toronto back-to-back starting this weekend. I would make your plans to be at Safeco Field right now. That just a friendly piece of advice. I would make your plans to be at Safeco Field for as many games as you can for those two series coming up. Oh, let's hear from Leonis Martin. He's always fun to hear from. His four-hit ball game.
You know, we play like a team, you know, put the pieces together and we fight together, you know. The pitcher doing the great job, and defense, offense, and we're doing everything, you know. Try to find a way to get a spot in the playoff.
Miranda out there, every time we see him go out there, you see a little bit something different from him. He seems to be getting better and better every time. To see that, that's got to give this team some confidence.
He got a lot of confidence. He's a young guy, but he got a lot of confidence. He threw a lot of strikes, and he attacked the strike zone. He did a great job today. And, you know, I think it's all about the confidence he got. He going out there to fight every single pin to attack the strike zone. It's great, man.
You, good game from you, too. 4-for-4 out there. You start out with the three doubles. It looked like you were going to have a triple at one point. That's a tough one to take a look at, but what's been working for you offensively?
You know, been working a lot in the batting cage. You know, this is a long season, a lot of up and down. But, you know, I keep fighting. You know, I'm playing to help my team win ball games. That's all I care about.
All right, so it sets up tonight. Mariners and Angels. M's looking for the series win. Taiwan Walker will go for the Mariners. He'll try and build off what he did last time. Very good start last time. Change in mechanics, and now he's had some bullpen time and some time in between this start to work on his new mechanics. So he'll take the ball for the Mariners. 7:05 first pitch, 6 o'clock pregame show, Mariners and Angels. Now the Angels will send Alex Meyer to the mound. Meyer, big guy, 6'9", 225 pounds, a righty. He has not spent much time in the big leagues this year, and what he has spent, he has struggled. Just 3 games, 1 with the Twins, 2 with the Angels. 3 games, 2 starts, 7 innings, 9 hits, 6 runs, 8 walks, and 10 strikeouts. An ERA of 7.71, a whip of 2.43. So, I mean, you can strikeout numbers are really good, 10 and 7 innings, but his walk numbers are not good. He's walking a ton of guys. So this is, especially for Meyer, you flip this, and it's fun to think about, and I actually think it's helpful to think about matchups in reverse sometimes. And you think about a player like Alex Meyer, who just has not been in the big leagues very long. He has spent 9 innings in the big leagues so far. And you think about it, he has had some struggles. And he's, just think about from the perspective, he's facing this Mariners offense who's rolling. I mean, he's got to face Cano and Cruz and Seager and everything else up and down this order. This is a very, it's a very difficult matchup for someone who's pitching well. And Meyer's struggling. He's got great stuff. His fastball sits about 95.5 miles per hour. And he can reach upper 90s with that thing. Just doesn't always know where it's going. He's primarily a fastball, curveball guy. He has a changeup. He just won't throw it very often. So fastball, curveball, basically a two-pitch guy. So Mariners have been consistent with their at-bats. And we'll see how patient they are against Meyer tonight. As the Mariners look for their 7th win in a row. Wouldn't that be something? Looking for win number 7. Daniel Vogelbach made his Major League debut last night. His first AB. You heard the skipper talking about him there for a moment. Let's hear from the newest Seattle Mariner.
You've been looking forward to this for a while, huh? I mean, this is a dream come true, isn't it? This is what you, as a kid, this is what you dream of. You know, it's been a long road, and I wouldn't have wanted to change it anyway. I've learned a lot as I came through the minors, and I've grown as a baseball player and as a person, and I'm just happy to be here.
How did Lestache tell you? Did he mess with you at all?
No, unfortunately, it went out on a loss, and we weren't able to do what we wanted to do, and that was, you know, win the PCL. So he called me in after and just, you know, told me that I was going to be able to, you know, maybe make my debut this year, and my dreams were going to come true of being a big leaguer.
Back in July when the trade came, I mean, you knew the situation in Chicago, but there's an opportunity here. What was your reaction when trade went down?
Most definitely. You know, I made friends in Chicago that are going to be friends for a lifetime, and I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity that they gave me out of high school to make my dreams come true of being a professional baseball player. And that organization was really good to me, but like you said, you know, there was kind of an obstacle there with Rizzo, and you know, I always say he was nothing but good to me. He really helped me out through my development. And, you know, when the trade happened, of course, when it first happens, you know, it's kind of, you don't really like to, you know, when things happen, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I have a good relationship with God, and I know that God, you know, won't lead me to a place that, you know, isn't the right place. And it's been the best month and a half that I've had in Pro Bowl. It was an easy transition with the guys in Tacoma. The coaching staff was awesome. The team was awesome. And, you know, I've been here for, you know, an hour, and the team has been nothing but good to me here and really welcome me with open arms. So it makes me feel welcome.
If somebody had never seen you play before, how would you tell them how you play?
A lot of enthusiasm. You know, I really play I play hard. I don't like to lose. I'm a competitor. I'm a competitor not just in baseball and anything. I don't like to lose if it's in the front yard with my family. That's how I've been my whole life. You know, whatever I can do that night to help the team win is what I'm willing to do. You know, if it's hitting, if it's fielding, if it's taking an extra base, you know, if I'm not playing that night and it's just being a good teammate, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, contribute to the team that night.
You've obviously worked the count well, and that's something they've talked about a lot. It's something you've just always done, but again, it goes deep.
I've really, you know, my whole life kind of tried to be a good hitter. You know, I'm a firm believer of being a good hitter first, and I think that the home runs will come. And that's something that I've really prided myself in, you know, taking what the pitcher gives me, taking RBIs when there's a runner on third and less than two outs. I think it all goes back to, you know, helping the team win. If that's hitting a single, if that's hitting a home run, you know, it's just, you know, whatever the pitcher's going to give me, you know, I'm going to take and try to just produce.
Daniel Vogelback, and good chance we'll see him in the starting lineup tonight as the Mariners take on the Angels, going for number 7 in a row. And a big part of the Mariners' surge, Nelson Cruz. Here's Rick Riz sitting down with the Mariners slugger.
Chance to sit down and talk with designated hitter, outfielder Nelson Cruz, one of the best hitters, I think, in the American League. 30-plus home runs again, 80 RBIs at this point in the season. And, Nelly, you know, the interview is geared toward kids. And what do you tell kids and youngsters about what does it take to be a good hitter at any level?
First, most, you know, you just have fun, you know. It's a game, so you have to have fun, enjoy what you're doing. I mean, at the same time, you have to take it serious, you know.
Right.
Because for us, it's a job, you know. That's what we work for, and that's our life. But the most important thing is have fun, enjoy it, you know. Second thing, you just try to be short to the ball, you know. Just short, make sure you work on your tee. Put it high, a little bit higher, and close to your body so you get in top and your hands work in top and inside to the pitch where you want to hit it.
What do you mean short to the ball? Get your hands to the ball quickly. How do you do that? How do you explain that to a kid?
The closest your hands are to your body, you have less space to go from point A to point B. That's the best explanation you can have, you know. So when you do that, you can let the outside pitch travel a little bit more and just go to, like I said, your hands close to the body and go from point A to point B, middle pitch and inside pitch the same way.
You've been playing baseball pretty much all your life, and every kid has a bat in their hands. They go out there and swing and try to hit a baseball, which is one of the toughest things to do in sports. Ted Williams said hitting a round ball with a round bat hit squarely is one of the toughest things to do, and it is. When did it start to come around for you as a young player to become such a good hitter?
It's like school, you know. Every level, you find something that is hard to do, and play in Dominican Summer League. You know, I think the hardest thing was just to get laying to the breaking pitch, and every level was the same thing. You know, you had to figure out a way to just see the breaking pitch a little bit longer. And everything started, like I mentioned, you know, when you know that you can wait a little bit longer with the fastball, and then you can also wait a little bit longer the breaking pitch, and you recognize that pitch better, and as ball you later on, it's just like you swing it, you know. Even it sounds simple, it's not simple, but that's the philosophy that can help you out, you know.
Talking about the curveball, you said, you know, to recognize a curveball. How do you hit a curveball? Is it the same swing path as a fastball, but how do you hit a breaking ball?
Well, breaking balls are tough because when they're nasty, it's almost impossible to hit it to a square, you know?
Right.
So you're expecting the pitcher to make a mistake, and they leave you the one that you want to hit, and then, oh, that's the one, and you can cross it. The same thing is just way back, you know, just wait for the pitch because that happened to me too. I go a little bit in front of the pitch, and I feel like I'm leaning, my body's leaning a little bit forward, and then it's when I get in trouble because I cannot wait into the contact of the ball where you can square and hit it the other way. That's where you want to hit it.
Watching you hit, you're so good, especially with two strikes, of hitting the ball the other way. Edgar Martinez, I watched him for many, many years. He was one of the best I've seen, hitting the ball the other way. How do you hit the ball the other way?
When I'm doing good, that's what I do. I just wait, and then my body just quiet, doesn't go forward, just wait for the pitch to come to the sun and just swing the bat, you know. That's the best and the more easier way to explain it.
What's the mental side of hitting? The pitcher's trying to outthink you. You're trying to think about what the pitcher is going to throw you. You've got advanced scouting reports. You have video. What are you armed with from the time you leave the dugout to the time you walk up to home plate about that guy in the mound?
Well, you have to start, and that's what I do before I go to bed every night. I go through the last start that he has, if it was accessible, what he did, what make it accessible. So I go through innings to at-bats. I go pick one hitter, one that look similar to myself, and then I go sequence, okay, first inning, he saw fastballs, a lot of fastballs. Second time around, he started with breaking pitch, you know, situations. And then I have an idea what to expect. I mean, it doesn't mean they have to work every time. But the good thing is you have a plan. That's one of the most important things also, to have a plan every single bat, not just go out there and see the ball and swing it. You have to have expectations and something to you can work with, you know. Yeah. So after that, you know, you go by motion. You know, the other thing is you have to do is always see the release point, you know, try to follow the pitch the longer as you can.
Watching you play for many years, you hit a lot of long fly balls, a lot of home runs. That's a big part of your game. I saw you hit the home run in Cincinnati. What's it like to hit a baseball that far? How do you do that?
It's sweet. I remember, when I signed, I was thinking when you asked me the question early about hitting. I squared up in one and BP, maybe I hit two outs, you know.
Yeah.
And then that was what I have, you know. And then I figured it out, like, okay, so I started working out. And then I remember I went to instructional league in Dominican and I was taking BP. And it's all the same. I've been hitting ball out to the stadium. I was like, wow, a workout would be nice, you know. So I started figuring out, okay, so you need to work out. So it's not just one swing or two swings doing the BP that you can square it up and go out, you know. So you build your muscle, you build the strength, and let the rest of your ability take over, you know.
So the best advice for a kid who wants to learn to be a good hitter is to just go out there and have a good time, have fun.
Yes, no doubt, you know. And, I mean, you're going to learn. It's a process, like I say. You go to school, every level is very tough, you know. You figure it out and you move on. And once you get here, you know, you just try to maintain, you know. And every day you have to figure out something new, every at bat, every pitch. But the beauty of this, you know, you have another day to take cover if you have a bad day.
And now Josh Kearns is back with another great feature.
Just behind the dugout off the M's clubhouse, Jimmy Hartley sits in what looks like the ultimate sports bar or man cave. The walls lined with video screens, Major League and college baseball games on every one of them. As the Mariners' video director and advanced scout, it's his job to keep a close eye on all the team's opponents, whether they're playing other teams or the M's. When they're at Safeco Field, he's got over 15 angles to choose from around the stadium.
We have cameras around the ballpark that we can control remotely ourselves, and then with the replay system that gives us additional angles that we can also view.
He's looking for anything that will give the M's an edge, especially the hitters.
What kind of things are you looking at?
Well, like during the game, we try to look at the opposing pitcher, maybe see if he's tipping his pitches. There have been times that we have noticed a guy tipping his pitches, and, you know, we convey that information to the batter, and, you know, they still have to go out and do it, but, you know, it's nice whenever you might play a small part in their success.
It's clearly working, especially this season.
The windup and the pitch, swung on, fly ball, deep left center field. Jay going back to the one, he tracked to the wall. Goodbye, baseball! Seth Smith does it again!
The M's have been tearing the cover off the ball as they soared to the top of the AL West. Among those enjoying early season success at the plate, outfielder Seth Smith.
Mostly it's just to see the pitchers that I'm going to be facing and kind of get an idea of what they throw and when they throw it and how they might attack me.
For Smith, video isn't the be-all, end-all, but it's become an important tool.
It's a small part of, a small piece of the big puzzle. It's one of the many things that we have at our disposal to make us just a little bit better and give us maybe a little competitive edge.
From Smith to Seager, Jimmy's watched countless hours of every Mariners player, whether at the plate or on the mound.
Do you notice every little subtlety? Oh, you're dropping your elbow a little bit when you're throwing a fastball, or when it comes to hitters, I know, you know, do you start to really get to know these guys inside out?
Yeah, you pick up on things like that, and, you know, if I do notice something like that, I might talk to the pitching coach or hitting coach and run it by them before it gets passed along to the player.
You don't tell him directly, though, huh?
No, I try not to overstep my bounds and leave the coaching up to Edgar and Mel.
But if you ever needed your cable hooked up or your computer program, Jimmy's the guy. He's constantly immersed in the latest technology, always looking for the next big thing.
I remember I used to be with the Rockies, and we were one of the first teams to put video on the 2-inch screen iPod, and everyone thought that was game-changing technology at the time, and now we have these huge iPads. It's always evolving. I'm always reading tech blogs, trying to stay on top of new technology.
It's pretty cool to see all the ways Jimmy uses the video. He recently installed a camera right behind home plate, so batters can go in the cage behind the dugout and virtually hit against the opposing pitcher.
We can do side-by-side comparisons. We can draw on the video. And, frame by frame, slow motion. There's a lot of different things we can do.
For some players, it can almost be too much, though. And Smith says it's a delicate balance to make sure all of that info doesn't get in the way of just playing.
That's something that I imagine every player has had to battle through. I know I have. I've gone the route of not enough information, and I've gone the route of too much information. And about now, I think I figured out kind of the amount of information that I need where I can still be instinctive and reactive on the field, but still have a good base of knowledge to make some educated decisions instinctively.
And all of it can certainly get to be too much for even the most diehard of baseball fans like Jimmy.
I will say whenever I have an off day, I'm not at home watching baseball. You know, you do have to get away from it at times because you're around it all the time when you are here.
You sit in here and binge watch House of Cards, really, don't you, when the guys aren't around?
I just finished season 4 on our last road trip, so yes.
Now that's okay. As long as the M's keep putting up wins, I think all of us would agree Jimmy can change the channel whenever he wants. For the Mariners Sunday Magazine, I'm Josh Kearns reporting.
See you later!